this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Thanks. Love these guys. We've been friends for a long time. Known you guys for a long time, and we have a lot of mutual friends. We catch up when we have do's, and so it's so fun always hanging. Do you know what I love about your pastors? Is I love people like you who can talk about the deep things of God and then immediately just talk smack. You know, just talk just stuff, life, hilarious things, weird stuff, and then bang, back into really deep anointed things. And anyone else love people like that? And that was a real blessing for me when I came to Australia. I met people that could talk about the deep things of God and then just shoot the breeze about just stuff and like be genuine, be normal. I mean, it's a message that I've preached a lot of times called being powerfully normal. People who are powerful, 100% powerful, yet 100% normal. I love people like that. Those are the sort of people that fling open the gates of heaven to us normal people, that we go, oh wow, so I don't have to be a weirdo. I can be a normal person completely, yet I can have the power of God rest on my life at the same time. Who would have thunk it? Anyway, hand for the band. That's enough. That's more than enough. Thanks. Have a seat. Have a seat, please. Don't hug your neighbor. You can. We always do that at Oxford Falls, hug your neighbour, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to. I just don't want to, but I feel obliged to. Do you have that, Selena? You don't mind. Selena doesn't mind. I'm like, oh, whatever. Give five people a hug. Really? Five? It's a lot. Anyway. Great stuff. So good to see you. Thanks for having me back. It's brilliant to be here. Yeah, I forgot I wrote a couple of books. They're really good. Really good. Have a look. You might like one. God might speak to you. That's what we're here to do. If you haven't figured it out, well, we're here because we love hanging with people and we love community. But we're here so that God would do something in our lives this morning and God would speak to us. Anybody else? Yeah, I love people and that's great and everything. And I love hanging out and having a laugh. But I come to the house of God because I want to hear from God. And I remember somebody saying, I was reading this in a book years ago, saying that when they come and they listen to someone preaching, he said, I appreciate the preaching. He said, but I kind of block them out and I'm zoning in on God because I want to hear something from heaven. Some preachers will say, write 1,000 notes. I don't say that. I say, just write what you hear from God, because you look at it, and notes can be good for studying and learning, and they are good for that, but it's one word from God can change your life forever. That's that one thing. Maybe it's a one scripture or just something that he speaks to you today, and it can be called a rhema. It's when the word comes alive, and it's just like, it doesn't go here, or you hear it here, and then it goes gunk into here, and something shifts, and you go, oh, wow, that's different. That's alive. It's living. It's another dimension. That's the stuff we want. And that's the stuff that will utterly shatter and change your world. If you've got addictions here this morning, habits you hate, they will shatter those things. They will shatter them. I can see it now. It's like a glass shower. It'll shatter that stuff. I've had it in my own life. And all of a sudden you go, wow, I had a habit or addiction where I wanted something, but now I want something else more. It's basically the way it works. Now, I'd rather have the peace of God than think, gee, what happened to me? Why did things go wrong? I'd rather have the peace instead. It's crazy how God can change your life like that. Anyway, I've got a message for you this morning. That's good. I'm not just going to chat. Yes, thanks. And it's a message. It's called Don't Be Surprised. It's a scripture, 1 Peter 4:12. Says this, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you. What an awful scripture. It's not just the fact he says a fiery ordeal, like you're going through a tough time. The Bible says, don't be surprised. That's ridiculous. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. In other words, to translate this into normal words, don't be surprised that things don't look right. I know you're probably, all your lives are perfect, but I sometimes look at my life and I go, that's not right. That is not right. That has taken way too long. Something's wrong. I'm surprised and it's strange. It's really surprising. And the Bible says, no, don't be surprised if things don't look right. What? We should be surprised if things don't look right, shouldn't we? What? Don't be surprised if it doesn't look right. It's not a strange thing that you're going through when you look at your life and you go, this is not right. I should be married by now. I should be out of debt by now. I should be happy by now, at least a little bit happy. I shouldn't be still thinking about killing people at work. I shouldn't still be thinking about the times, well, if I hadn't have done that 20 years ago, we would have been so much better off. Why did we sell that house? Why didn't we buy that house? That was obvious. That wasn't obvious. We've got all these things. Don't be surprised. It's not strange that things don't always look right. This was a revelation to me in the Word of God. Let's look down. There's a great saying that says, nothing will mess with you more than the picture in your head of how things should be. It should be this. It should be that. Oh, my gosh. And you think, yeah, this is just me. I'm in an individual case. Happened to Jesus. Now, this is in Luke 4:1. Gee, my autocorrect changed it to Louis 4:1. I think my autocorrect is demonic. Whenever I start to write things about God, it always changes it to something else. Anyway, whatever. Louis 4:1 to 14. And this is about Jesus. Jesus has just been water baptized by John the Baptist, by the best of the best. That's a good baptism. And then the Bible says that Jesus went into the desert and he was there for, was he there 40 days? Was he? 40 days, wow. And the Bible says that he was tempted by the devil. I love reading this. I didn't used to, and then I started to get revelation on it, and I love it. And the devil came to Jesus, and he said, if you are the Son of God, you know, shouldn't you, and you're hungry, I can see, shouldn't you change the stones into bread? Then you'd have something to eat. And if you are the Son of God, shouldn't you like throw yourself? Because if you should be able to throw, this should be happening. You should be throwing yourself off here, and angels will catch you, and you'll be all right. If you are, shouldn't this be happening? This is nuts. And I know there's a big cosmic thing happening here between Jesus and the devil, but at the same time, you're not telling me that this is touching that humanity of Jesus at the same time. If you are, shouldn't this be happening? And do you know what's really amazing is Jesus is 30 years old at this stage, and he's never done a miracle. Nothing. No miracles. 30 years old. I don't know about you, but if I was Jesus, knowing who I was, God in the flesh, and you're 30 and no miracles happening, I might be thinking, I thought something might have happened by now, to be perfectly honest with you. 30, getting on a little bit, thought we might have seen a little bit of miracle. Maybe that was something. And the devil, isn't it funny? It's like, he says, it's like he touched his finger on it. He goes, Jesus, life's going well. Yeah, amazing. John the Baptist baptized. Oh, that's cool. It's really cool. But isn't it surprising, Jesus? Isn't it a little strange that you haven't seen any miracles happen yet? Shouldn't this be happening? Shouldn't you do this stuff? It was like he's touching his finger on that one trigger point. I don't know if you have it in your life where you'll come to church and you'll be in worship and things are great, and all of a sudden you get this little, just in that little trigger point of why hasn't that happened? Because I've given a lot, and we still haven't seen the blessing of God like I thought we would see it. And it can pull you out of the presence of God. The Bible says, don't be surprised. It's not strange. It is an incredible thing. Here's something else that In Luke 4:1, the Bible says that Jesus went into the desert full of the Holy Spirit And in Luke 4:14, it says he came out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. So something happened in the desert that he went with just being full of the Holy Ghost, which is amazing, to come out walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden he's bzz, 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 and he's zapping people all over the place, and incredible miracles are starting to take place. I thought it would have been this incredible battle with the devil for him to unlock this miraculous upgrade to become who he was called and made to be and see everything that God had designed for him to do. But all he did was kind of nothing. All he did was face the temptation of the devil going, if you are, shouldn't that be happening? All he did was to refuse to leave that place of walking with God, of staying in his lane, if you like, of listening to the word and just speaking the word of God, not letting the devil pull him into a place of anxiety, of fear, of I'm running out of time, of things aren't happening the way they should be happening. That was the thing that unlocked his whole ministry, the power of God on his life. That one thing of speaking back to the devil and go, nah, man doesn't live by bread alone. I don't need that. If that's not happening in my life now, so be it. I just need the word of God. Isn't it incredible? It was almost like he was saying, if I never see a person healed, this is, gosh, if I never see the miraculous, if I never see someone raised from the dead, so be it. I'm walking with the presence of God on my life. And all of a sudden, a couple of days later, he steps out in the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what you're facing, but maybe there comes a time in our life where we need to put the word of God and the presence of God first and go, even if I don't see it, even if it doesn't look the way it should, first place in my life is going to be this presence. His wonderful presence. His wonderful word. Shouldn't it be? And it's like, isn't it funny? The devil is should. The devil pushes, God leads. If you're feeling it in your life today, that anxiety of push, shouldn't this be happening? You should be, you should be, you should. That is not God. God doesn't, you should. God will lead you by desire. You go, ah. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, if there's anybody here today, shut your eyes. If that's you, everyone's eyes are shut. You might want to lift your hands a little bit. Presence of God, and you're feeling anxiety, you're feeling pressure on your life like you never have, and it builds. It's like you got 100 people knocking on your door, and you go, this is built up so much, and the devil is even saying to you, you should be dealing with this better. Father, I want you to lift it to the Lord right now and say, God, I'm sick of this. This should. I want to be led. I want to be led out in joy. I'm going to start every day lifting my hands and worshiping you. Come to me, all of you who are tired, Jesus said, burnt out, tired, burdened. Is that you here this morning? You might be following the Lord for a long time. Father Allah, I love it that you lift burdens. I feel like he's saying, how about you and me again, huh? How about just you and me? I feel like you're driving a car with 100 people in it. You should be, you should be. So much pressure. You know this whole thing started with him and you. That's the way it should always be, and that's the way it will end. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for your power this morning working on hearts. In Jesus' name. That's cool, isn't it? Don't be surprised. It's not strange if things don't look right. I remember I went to an audition for an ad a number of years ago, and I was in the city, and it was in Darlinghurst at like on a Friday at 5 p.m. Anyone driven to Darlinghurst on a Friday at 5 p.m.? It's like, oh my gosh, It's a nightmare. The traffic's, I mean, I base my whole life around avoiding traffic, to be perfectly honest with you. So I'm driving into the city. I'm like, it was a nightmare to get in, traffic everywhere. And I got there, and I remember this. I don't remember the street name, but I remember it was 42. Anyone ever done this in the city, and you're looking for the address, and you're going along, and it goes 36, 38, 40, 44. And you're like, well, where's 42? Where's flipping 42? And I'm driving, looking. There's cars all over the place, and I'm like, where is this place? You know, it's like a, you know, a management agency. You're going for an audition. I can't find it. I'm getting like, and I thought, okay, I can park somewhere, then I can get out, and then I can walk up and down the street and see if I can find out where this place is. And I'm going up and down, and I can't find a park either. And I just pull over, double park on the side of the road, and I said it out loud. I was so frustrated in the car. I was like, I actually said out loud, I said, I don't know where I'm going, and I'm running out of time. And I had that little, you know, when the Holy Ghost sort of visits you a little bit, and it was like, yeah, that's you. And I was like, dang it. And I felt like at that stage I had this undercurrent in my life that was making me anxious. It was like, I'm not sure where I'm going, and I feel like I'm running out of time. And I was like, thanks. Isn't it great when the Holy Ghost just brings that to your attention? Little things like that sometimes. Today, if you feel like you're running out of time, devil's like, this should be happening. You're running out of time. You can give him the big shut up. God knows what he's doing, all right? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. He knows this stuff. I should be better. He knew what he was getting when he got you. Just relax. I was in my garage a number of years ago, and I was going through some old boxes, cardboard boxes that I hadn't unpacked. You know, when you move into a new house, and about 9 years later, you still got boxes in the garage. And I was looking through this old box, and I found this journal, and it was a journal about any people journal, any guys journal. Yeah, good, good. I'm glad I'm not alone. Thank you. In touch with our journaling side. And I journaled in what I wanted to happen in my life and when I wanted it to happen and how much money I wanted to be making in my life. You know, I was being specific. You know, write the vision down. You know, this is good stuff, right? And I was looking through, and I had written down year after year. This is like about 7 years after, 9 years after I'd written all this. And I was looking through this journal, and I was looking at what I wanted to achieve, when I wanted to achieve it, by how much money I wanted to make. What I wanted to achieve, when I wanted to achieve it, by how much money I wanted to make. And there was about 10 things. And I was looking at them, and I was going, look. And I was like, wow, 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 wow. And I realized, as I looked through the entire list in this journal, that absolutely none of them had come to pass. So we'll finish it there. So, great. I'll go outside and shoot myself. But it was, none of it. None of it. And I was looking at it incredulously going, wow, God. Wow. Wow. None. None, mate. None. And I was even looking back to the tiny things. I was like, none, not even that. What? And I thought, were the goals too big? Did I just shoot too high? And I was like, that's supernaturally poor. Like, it's the supernatural opposite almost in some areas. There was a couple of them, and we had the supernatural opposite of what we believed for, confessed for, gave for, and prayed for. And I was like, what? How do you incorporate that into a message? It was dismal. And as I began to spiral into a mild depression, I was like, I felt the Lord speak to me. And he said to me, the goalposts haven't moved. And I was like, they must have. Because I hate it when people say, you know you're on the right track with God because there's clear signposts. No, the flipping is it? There's no signposts that I'm on the right direction. They're all to do with like ministry things and television things and stuff like that. And I was like, dang it, God, what's the deal? And things have worked out. But I was like, what, God? It really messed with my head. It just didn't look right. And it was very frustrating. And I started to read this scripture in the Bible. And this is in chunk of scripture. It's in Luke again. Luke 5, 2-7 in the NIV, and it was about Peter. The goalposts haven't moved. Isn't he amazing? God's, I love it how he just throws it out. Yeah, you whinge and you whine, you freak out. Nah, still on track. It's like, really? He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen. This is Jesus walking along. He had a lot of people following him because he's doing a lot of miracles now that he was in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he wanted a place where he could preach to people. So he was walking along the water's edge, this lake, and there was two boats sitting there, empty boats. They were left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. They were washing their nets because they were finished doing what they were doing, fishing. He got into the boats, the one belonging to Simon. That was the boat he got into. And he asked him to pull out a little from the shore. Isn't that great? Fishing all night, not catching anything. And then that's when God asks you to do something for him. Given for 20 years, not seeing the blessing. And God says, hey, would you mind doing this for me? And it's like, really? Now, after I haven't seen anything, when things don't look right, you step into my life now and you speak to me. Now you want me to do something for you. Where were you 20 years ago? Isn't he funny the way God does things? Goalposts haven't moved. No, let's carry on. Let's make your dream come to pass. And you're like, it's been 30 years, God. I thought I was miles off track. I thought all those plans and dreams are gone. God's like, no, who said that? I didn't. You're on track. Goalposts haven't moved. Let's keep going. I don't know if that's you here today. And God's been stirring you up. And you go, no, God, it's been too long. The dream can't work. It can't happen now because I don't have the money. I don't have the time. It's not going to work. I don't have the gift like I used to. God's like, no, no, time's right now. Oh, shivers. I think that's for a few people. Sorry. Sorry about the message. Sorry to stir it up again when you thought you had a nice, easy life now. But I think God's speaking to you again. Anyway, so he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore, go out a little bit. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. I think it's because you get a little bit of bounce, don't you, off the water, so you know people can hear it better. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, I imagine Simon's attitude, he said to Simon, hey, why don't you put out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch? Why don't you do what you've been doing all night, and why don't you try and catch some fish? Oh, really? That's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that. It's crazy. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. I've slogged it out. I've given my everything, Lord. And I haven't caught anything. This is a crazy scripture. I haven't caught anything. Like, that's supernaturally poor. Like, nothing, not even a tiddler, nothing. They caught nothing. I don't think they'd ever caught nothing before as a fisherman with nets, professional. They lived their lives. He's probably like a 10th generation fisherman. And he went out and nothing. The result was nothing. It would have been embarrassing. You've got all these other boats out there and they're all catching at least something. Peter's probably sat down on his boat flicking through Instagram. All he sees is people holding up fish. And it's like, everyone else has got flipping fish. Everyone else is going on holiday and happily married and got beautiful homes. Me, I got nothing. What the heck's the deal with this? Supernaturally terrible, very embarrassing. One of the other translations of the Bible says, almost mockingly it feels, it says, and Peter had nothing to show. Oh, that's mean. Do you ever feel like that on social media? Some people have got so much to show. And you go, I got, what am I going to show? Coffee? I don't know. You know it's bad when you show. Anyway, no judgment if you're putting your coffee on Instagram. He had nothing to show. He'd finished. He had finished. And now he was washing his nets, and the nets are done. And Jesus jumps into the boat and says the most offensive thing you can say to somebody who feels like they've done everything they could possibly do right and get to a stage and still have nothing to show. Jesus says, hey, take the boat back out. Gosh, go again? And I love it that he didn't say to him, at this stage, leave the boat. Let's go do some miracles. Let's do all the... He asked him to do what he knew what to do and how to do. You might be thinking, God's going to tell me to do something really random. I don't... No, he's going to speak to you about what you know how to do and what to do. You're only required to produce what's been put inside of you. I don't know if that makes somebody relax. It makes me relax a little bit. He's put dreams and gifts on the inside of you, and that's what he's going to produce. That's why he says to you, take the boat back out. Let's go again. Let's go again now. Even after all this failure, even after what seemed like total dead time, and the devil's just been going, that's surprising. Nothing's happened by now. Really? 30? No miracles? Surely something would have... Don't be surprised. It's not strange. I'm going to use you at exactly the right time when I want to use you. That dream, that gift on the inside of you, I'm speaking to you today, and I'm stirring it up today because we're going to go again. Oh, my gosh. Really? This is it. He says, take the boat back out. I think it's amazing. It says here that Peter says, he said, Master, we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing. I got nothing to show. And he said this line. And I feel in my heart, this was the line that he said when I reckon Jesus got this unction from God, that God said, this is the guy. I'm going to build my church on this guy. Because that's what he said. This guy. Because Peter said to him, I've worked hard all night. I've done everything I know to do. I got nothing to show. But because you say so. Should have changed the name of the message to because you say so. But because you say so, let's go back out. Oh, my gosh. I've said that to God before about preaching and things and traveling a bit and doing stuff. Because sometimes it's weird and hard and everything. And I've said I wouldn't do it for this and that and this and that. But Holy Ghost, I do it for you. And there's got to come a time in your life when you get back to that ground zero, that true north. I was like, God, I don't know if I'd do it for money or fame or, you know, progress, success or what, accolades or whatever you think your dream is for. But when you say, but I'd do it for you, Holy Ghost. I'd do it because you say so. And there's something so wonderful. That was Jesus in the desert. This stuff should be happening. And Jesus said, no, I wouldn't do it for all that, but I'd do it for my Father. And Pete said, but I'd do it for you. It's not what you're going through that determines where you'll end up. It's who you listen to. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break, so they signaled their partners in other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Crazy. He could have missed it. I've worked hard all night. It's too late. It's too hard. My heart can't handle stepping out again. My heart's too fragile. But because you said it, let's do it. He could have missed it. And he might not have been, and Jesus would have gone, that's fine. You have worked hard. And it was a big call for me to ask you again. And he would have moved on to another boat. Oh, imagine that, watching Jesus move on to another boat. And he's sitting there washing his nets and he watches that boat go out. And then this miraculous load of fish in somebody else's boat. You would have gone, dang it. Don't miss it. Father, you're speaking to hearts today. I ask for strength and courage that people go, yeah, let's go again. Hey, what's life for? Let's risk it. Let's do the business. Let's write the book. Let's start the cafe. Let's do the job. I know it's a long drive into Sydney, but I feel like you're on this. Lord, I wouldn't do it for anything else, but I'd do it for you. You're asking me to call someone and forgive them, to give some money to somebody, or I wouldn't do it for anything else, but I'd do it for your presence. I'd do it for you, Holy Spirit. Don't miss it. Don't let someone else's boat get full of fish. You might be thinking, yeah, Jamie, yeah, but my life really doesn't look right. So glad you brought it up. It doesn't look right. It really doesn't look right. And there's something wrong. I'm surprised. It's strange. Whenever I hear that, I always think of Mary and her story of, if there was anybody's life, any situation that was going to look perfect, it should have been this. Mary giving birth to Jesus. I mean, that should have just gone like bloomin' clockwork. But she's pregnant, she's about to have the baby, and then you have to go back to Nazareth and you have to go and do the to Bethlehem and you have to do the census thing, you know, like we do. Do we still do the census? Yeah, good. Selena takes care of administration. And pulled something like that for a start, what, like a 5-day journey on a donkey? If something was got, that wouldn't have happened. And Mary gets it. And the thing that I remember, I read this once and I slammed my Bible down and I said to God, that's not right. It was when she was looking for a place to go in and have the baby and there was no room at the inn. I slammed my Bible down and I said, that's not right. That's wrong. If it was really God, she probably thought this too. If it was really God that gave me this dream, if it was really God speaking to me, then that door would have opened. Anyone had that? Oh, get that door shut. Can't be God. Really? Really? The door shut on the end. Click, click. No room. Clunk. I think that's nuts. I think maybe God chose Mary. I guess there was lots of reasons, but one reason was maybe because she was okay to be a bit fluid, okay to pivot a wee bit and go, all right. That's surprising, a little bit strange, but let's keep going. Not because everything looks right, but because you say so, I'm going to keep going, and we'll have it in a barn. Maybe you're having a barn baby. You know what I mean? Maybe this dream, maybe this business, maybe this new, maybe things, maybe it's going to happen in a situation, maybe it's going to be birthed out of in an area in your life where everything looks wrong. Like everything looked wrong with that. Everyone was against it. Everything looked wrong. It was surprising. It was strange. Yet she was still like, let's keep going because you say so. So never bring up that God, but it looks terrible. Things doesn't look right. It's been a long time. Everything. Yeah. Have the baby in a barn. You know, have the baby. Give when you've got nothing. Step out when you think nothing's going to happen. Start something when you think there's no hope. Oh, my gosh. Do it afraid. Do it angry. Do it upset. But I'm depressed. I'll do it depressed. Just do it. You know what I mean? There's so much power in this. There's so much power in it. I think of the Israelites getting into the promised land. And they get there. It's amazing. 40 years. They get to the promised land. They finally get there. Split the sea. And they get to the. I always think of them like, couple of million of them. How many? 3 million? 2 million? Two? Chris, you happy with two? Three? Chris, three? Anyone else? Four? Three and a half? Four? 3 million? 3 million people. And I always think they're sort of walking up a hill, like a grassy hill. Walking up, blah, 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 they get to the top, they get to the top. Promised land, it's going to be the promised land. And it was like, it's going to be good. How good is it going to be? And they're like, it's going to be good. I know, it's going to be so good. What do you think it's going to be like? I think it's going to be amazing. Milk and honey and everything like that. And it's sticky. But anyway, we're going up the hill, we're all going up the hill, and they're like, ah! They start to walk, and then they're like, running, promised land! This is it! We've been slaves for 400 years, and they're like, oh, but now we got this, we're just going to waltz in! It's going to be amazing! What do you think your house is going to look like? I don't know, it's going to be incredible, isn't it? It's going to be, momentum, they get to the top of the hill, they go, ah! You can imagine just dead silence, they're like, oh, okay. Well, it's busier than I thought. In the promised land. It's funny, isn't it? It's like, I don't know. Where are we going to live? I'm not quite sure because everything seems to be taken. Yeah, so everything's taken and they don't look like the sort of people you could just knock on the door and say, this is actually my place. Would you mind leaving? They seem to be big, big people already living there. Yeah, that's awkward. The position that I want as a job is already taken by somebody else. Yeah. Somebody who's better at it than I am. That doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. And it looks like a sort of a land that would just devour, yeah, people. Yeah, it looks like a really tough business industry to get in. It would just devour. Yeah, okay, that's That's not good. And can you, I mean, this is awful. The first thing I would have thought is, we're too late. It took us too long. God, you kept us in captivity 50 years longer than you should have. Where were you on this one? I'm too late. I'm too late to buy a house. I'm too late to get married. I'm too late to be happy now. I've been miserable for 80 years. I can't be happy for just a couple. It's too late, God. Where were you? What's going on? It's already taken. All the good stuff is gone, God. I would have been furious. And I love it. And then I yell at God, what the heck? That's not what the promised land's supposed to be like. And God's in heaven sitting on a lazy boy recliner rocker reading a paper. He's old school. Not with a pipe, because anyway. But he's reading the paper. And God goes, what's all they gone? He looks over the balustrade of heaven, looks at the promised land, and he goes, no, that looks right. That's right. And he carries on reading the paper. Is that nuts? The promised land looked right. But 3 million people went, no, that doesn't look right. That looks wrong. Anyone ever looked at the present or the future and go, I thought you said the promised land was going to be different, God? So there's supposed to be giants here. There's supposed to be wars. We're supposed to fight. Isn't this crazy? And so many of them thought, no, we can't do this. He had to wait for a whole generation to die. A generation of people to die before they could take that promised land. Because the memory was stronger than the promise. And sometimes we get stages in our life when we get a little bit older. But the memory of the tough times can be stronger than the promise of God. When he says to you, let's go now. Oh, I've been through too much. Been too much hurt. Too much disappointment. Like, come on, let's go. You're built for this. I feel like you're standing there and you've got a sword sitting next to you. I remember years ago God said to me, don't let anybody take your sword. I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, I was in my 20s there. It didn't mean much. When you get a bit older, it's like, oh, so I got to fight some battles because things don't always look right. Maybe, you know, remember when you used to put scriptures on your dashboard and scriptures next to your bed and things you had to fight for? Remember when you used to get up in the morning and not just pray, oh, God, thanks for a great day. Things are going to be good. But you would fight. If you had anxiety or depression or the kids weren't doing right or things weren't right, you would fight. You would stand on the promises of God. You would stand on them and you would take those promises into the promised land. And you would make that land yours. You would take what God has promised you. What happened to that fight? Did the devil get into your head and say, oh, it's surprising, strange, never mind. Things don't look like they're working out for you. Maybe you've got to take that sword back up again. Ah! Those words that God has spoken to you, not just any scripture, but you know he's spoken to you scriptures about your health, about your wealth, about your mind, about the presence of his peace in your home, and start speaking it again and again and again and again and again and again and again over your life until you get victory. I was watching Wimbledon the other day with my eldest daughter, and she's a big tennis fan, and they were talking to this guy, and he had played a guy called Jannik Sinner. Not the best last name for a message, but doesn't matter. Number one player in the world. And they said, what was it like? Like, he basically demolished you. He smashed you. And he said, one thing I noticed playing him, he said he has no defensive shots. He said he does nothing defensive. When you think you've got him, he will just get to the ball, but somehow smash it back 100 times harder than you thought the ball would come back. That's the way we should be with us. No defensive shots. Just offensive shots. Hit it harder than you need to hit it. Smash the devil with more word than you think you need to. Speak it and stand until you get a breakthrough. Things might not look right now. You speak it and you stand. The Bible says, take on the whole armor of God and stand. In the day of evil, you stand and you take the sword of the Spirit and you speak it and you use it until you see that breakthrough in your life. Has the devil talked you out of it halfway through? Maybe this is your lot in life. Come on. Come on. This is bought and paid for. You know the big difference with that promised land? The bad spies came back and they said, no, there's giants there. We can't have the land. Then the good spies came back and they said, there's giants there. We can have the land. It's made for us. He actually said, this is made for us. You're actually made for the fight. Whew, you know you are. Holy Ghost is aggressive. What was the difference? The bad spies felt like they were trespassing on the giant's land. The good spies saw that the giants were trespassing on theirs. You've just got trespassers on your land. It's your victory. It's your place. Healing is yours. Peace is yours. Health, abundance is yours. To be a generous person is yours again. To be the answer, not the problem. I was praying for you guys this week, and I saw pictures of people in the bushes, which is funny picture. Adam, and it reminded me of Adam when he felt like he'd messed up too bad. And he looked at himself and he goes, oh, I'm nude. That's not great. And in other words, he'd always been nude, but he'd just realized it. So now he was looking at himself going, gee, I'm not the person I thought I was. I thought I was someone else. I thought I was better than this. I thought I was a faith guy. Guess I'm not. And now he's decided he can't walk with God anymore because he'd messed up too much. I thought I would have broken this habit by now, but I guess I'm not who I thought I was. I had a couple of scriptures I stood on and I didn't see things happen the way I thought I would. So I'll stay in the garden. I'll stay in church, but I'm going to hide. I'm just going to stay in the bushes. I can hang out in the community of Christians. I don't mind hanging out with them, but I can't walk with God. I said to God a number of years ago, it's an embarrassing thing to say, but I'll say, I was highly disappointed with something in my life. And I said to God, I'll preach and everything, but I don't know if we can have this intimacy at the moment that we normally have. I don't know if you've ever said that. Blah. And I felt like God said, it's fine. I was like, yeah, you can't say it's blooming fine. You should be mad. And it's funny that he just keeps showing up anyway. He's very patient. And maybe that's you here this morning. You've been disappointed with something so much that you're like, I come to church, I can hang out with Christian people, but I can't walk with you. Adam did that. I'm going to sit here in the bushes. And God still showed up. God still showed up to walk with him. And if you think you've done something so bad that God doesn't want to walk with you, Adam caused the downfall of humanity. I think you're right. I think you're okay. And God the next day still showed up to walk with him. And he said the best line ever. Where are you? Because we normally walk with each other at this time in the morning, remember? I don't know where you've gone or how far you've pulled back. And whatever it was in your life that seemed strange, that seemed surprising about yourself or about your life that made you pull back and hide. Get out of the bushes with your nude self. He knew you were nude. He knew what you were like. Oh, God, I know I pretend I'm full of faith, but I'm really a bit rubbish. Oh, really? God, he wants to walk with you this morning. I can feel the presence of God here. I believe that God wants to heal some hearts this morning too, which is good. I might have mentioned to you before, it's amazing, Jesus' first message was He said, the Spirit of the Lord. His first ever message, Jesus' first message. We've got a new preacher today, a young man from Nazareth. Jesus? Yes, it's Jesus. Here he comes. And he's got a couple of, have you got any, he's got a book out. And anyway, I digress. And Jesus got up and opened up the Isaiah. Says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to tell you guys some good news. I got good news for your life. What a God. What a God. God in the flesh. What's his message? I got good news. And if all you can hear is bad news in your ear, I got good news. I got some good news. And not just, don't think, well, the world and the church as a whole. No, for you. For you, Jesus was very individual. I got good news for you. I got some great news for you. Good news. And you might go, yeah, it's religious type. No, some good news. I got some good news about your life today. And the second thing he said straight after it, he said, I got some good news. And God's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. What a funny thing to say. I've got good news. And I've got to heal the brokenhearted. Because a broken heart can't hold hope. You can come to church a thousand times and hear messages of like, I got good news. This is going to be good. Things are going to work out. And for some reason, it just runs straight through you. It's like, no, and you still leave depressed. Because you don't need another message. You need a healed heart. Something broke it. I don't know what it was. Something might have just cracked it. Maybe it takes a week for the hope to leak out. But leaking out it does. And you just can't stay in that place of walking with him knowing it's going to be all right. Let's put him first this morning. When we close the service, come up the front. We'll pray for you. And Selena and I'll pray for you and the team here. And I reckon God will do some good mending. He's good with, I'm not a handyman, spack filler. Does that fix cracks? No more gaps. He does what he does. Some other holy Bunnings things. He does it, and he does it wonderfully. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, if you're here today, you don't know the Lord, maybe you got invited here today, and you were like, I don't want to go, but I'll go. Maybe you were thinking, it's been a long time since I've been in church, and you don't know the Lord. And when I talk about God, you go, religious, right? You're talking about religion. No. I'm talking about the creator of the universe. Rather than living outside of you, living inside of you. That is being born again. That is the change. God inside. You can go search 1,000 man-made religions. What's the difference with Jesus? He says God wants to come and live inside you. Can you imagine people's faces when he first said that? What? No, no, no. God lives in the Holy of Holies, in that box, in the Holy of Holies that we're never allowed to see. And Jesus said, no, do you know what he wants to do now? He wants to live inside you. And if that's you here today, you've never prayed a prayer that invites him inside. I'd love to pray with you. Don't I have to do 1,000 things? No, you just invite him in. And he kind of takes over from there. And that's when things get really fun and awesome. If that's you here this morning and you've never prayed that prayer that invites the Lord into you, into your life, I'd love to pray that with you. And in a couple of seconds, in about 20 seconds, I'm going to get you to lift your hand on it. And I'll pray that prayer with you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you used to know the Lord and then you fell away from the Lord. And you're like, man, Jamie, I'm like Adam. I kind of show up now and again, but I'm hiding in bushes. I'm miles away. I don't walk with God anymore. And this morning you're saying, yeah, Jamie, I want to come back. I want to get my life right with God. I want to walk with him. I'd love to pray with you right now. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, If that's you and you want to pray this prayer to invite the Lord into your life or come back to the Lord, I'd love you to slip your hand up right now. Okay, yeah, Jamie, that's me. Yeah, Jamie, that's me. Beautiful, beautiful. So I want to invite the Lord into my life. I want to be born again. I want to experience what it's like, this new life, filled with His presence and filled with His power. Awesome. I'll give you another couple of minutes. A couple of moments. Thank you, Father. We normally know it's us because our heart beats like crazy. I remember when I did it. Spent 14 years away from the Lord. It's a long time. Because I didn't think He wanted me because of the way I lived. But I had it the wrong way around. He wanted to get His hands on me. He wanted to get into my life. And then everything changes. Beautiful. Anybody else saying, yeah, that's me? Slip up your hand, I'll pray for you. Awesome. You'd like to pray this prayer after me? Say this after me, everybody. Father in heaven, I ask Jesus into my life. I ask to be born again. Forgive me of my past. Thanks for my future. Fill me with your Spirit today. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.